This morning, we're going to continue our discussion that comes from 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 57. It's a passage that we've repeated so many times this year that I hope that I've committed it to memory. And so let's say it together. We'll commit this to being a part of our life. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But we took the last part of that, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and we've been talking about that in terms of working with Jesus. And we ask a question, what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? We get to work with him. And the fact that we're working with him is an indication that our labor is not going to be in vain if we comport ourselves according to the pattern that we see in Jesus, we will impact the world for God. So working with Jesus, we ask ourselves a question. Who were the people that Jesus worked with? That seems to be kind of at the forefront of figuring out how we can work with Jesus. If we're working with a different group of people than Jesus worked with, then maybe we're not going to be assured of the impact that we would like to have. So let's just spend a little bit of time this morning looking at the people that were the focus of Jesus' ministry. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 12, reading down through verse 24. Long discussion. By the way, I should mention, we're going to just spend our time in the book of Luke this morning, looking at some of the people that Jesus worked with. There was a man who Jesus describes here, a man who made a supper or a dinner. And Jesus says, when you do that, don't call your friends, your brethren, your kinsmen, your rich neighbors, lest haply they bid you again and recompense be made thee. But when you make a feast, bid the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Thou shalt be blessed, because they have not wherewith to recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. One of them that was with him, sitting at meat, heard these things, and he said to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, a certain man made a great supper. He bade many, sent forth his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, all things are now ready. They all, with one accord, began to make excuse, or with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said to him, I've bought a field. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to them to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. The servant came and told his Lord these things. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, what thou didst command is done, and yet there's room. The Lord said to his servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and constrain them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. It's an interesting story. I wonder if I would be counted among those who found a reason not to attend the feast. Or if, on the other hand, I might be counted among the group that was blind and was amazed that I was invited to the supper. Well, I look at the focus of Jesus' ministry, and you have to, of course, we look at what Jesus did, but it's very helpful to look at those cases where Jesus did something and then explained what he was doing. That helps me at least a lot. And Jesus talked a lot about the focus of his ministry, who he was reaching out to. Well, he came to Nazareth on one occasion in Luke, the fourth chapter. We brought up. He entered, as his custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. That's the way that they organized their period of study. One man would be given the book. He would open the book and he would read from a particular place. And then he would give the sense of what he read. So Jesus goes into the synagogue, probably the carpenter's synagogue, and he is given the book and he is asked to read. It was delivered to him, the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book, found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable day of the Lord," or year of the Lord. He closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fastened on him, because he's going to explain what he's just read. He began to say unto them, "Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." All bear him witness, wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will say unto me this parable, 'Physician, heal thyself.'" In other words, yeah, that's right, but you need to do it. Jesus is going to explain. He says, "Whatsoever we've heard done at Capernaum, do in your own country." Jesus said, "Verily I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But of a truth, I say to you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came great famine over all the land, and to none of them was Elijah sent, but only to Zarephath, the land of Sidon, to a woman that was a widow. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them was cleansed but Naaman the Syrian." They were all filled with much wrath in the synagogue. They got mad at what Jesus had said. They rose up. They cast him forth out of the city. They led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. He'd been ministering to people that were outcasts, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the widow, the woman. The Jews had a tendency to think, if you brought it on yourself, then you're not worthy of my help. In fact, you see Jesus' disciples recorded in John, the ninth chapter, asking Jesus when he encountered the man that was blind, who sinned? Was it him or his parents? Because the Jewish perception was the only way that you suffered misfortune was if you brought it on yourself. That wasn't the case. This was so that Jesus could demonstrate the power of God, that he had healed this man. Well, let's continue. Seventh chapter of the book of Luke. The disciples of John had come to Jesus, and they're really asking a question. Are you the Messiah? John is in prison. He's spent his time preparing the way for the Messiah. Now, I don't know whether John questioned whether Jesus was the Messiah, or he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him this question for their benefit, so that they would stop following him and they would start following Jesus. I don't know what prompted John to send his disciples to Jesus. John called two of his disciples, it says in Luke, the seventh chapter, and sent them to the Lord, saying, "Art thou he that cometh? Are you the Messiah? Or look we for another?" When the men were come to him, they said, "John the Baptist sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that cometh, or look we for another?" And this is what Jesus did in response to that question. In that hour, he cured many of diseases and plagues and evil spirit, and on many that were blind, he bestowed sight. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that's been promised, that we've been looking for all our lives? And this is how Jesus answered the question. He healed people that were hurting. He approached the outcasts, and he gave them what they needed. He answered, he said, "Go tell John the things that you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead hear, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good tidings preached to them. And blessed is he whoever finds no occasion of stumbling in me." How do you ask the question, "Are you the Messiah?" and then miss that answer? Luke, the 10th chapter. In the same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. He said, and this is what he prayed so his disciples could hear it, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise, the understanding, and did reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for it is so well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been delivered to me and of my Father. No one knows who the Son is save the Father, and who the Father is save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son willeth to reveal him. Turning to his disciples, he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see." Blessed are those who see the things that you get to see. Some, even Jesus' closest friends, those that had been with him throughout his entire public ministry, found the focus of Jesus' ministry to be offensive. Look at Luke, the 18th chapter. People were bringing their children to Jesus. Little children. When the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Jesus called unto them. He said, "Suffer the little children to come to me. Forbid them not. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. the kingdom of God. I say to you, whoever will receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall in no wise, shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. He shall in no wise enter therein. A lot of what Jesus did went beyond what people were ready to understand. You know, when Jesus was walking the streets of Palestine, I have a feeling that he was surrounded by people that would have caused me, and I'm ashamed to say it, had I been out walking with my young daughters, to grip their hand a little bit more tightly and cross to the other side of the street and say, don't look. This is not the group that you ought to be impressed with. I wish that I had more discernment than that. I'm afraid that I don't always. Jesus' ministry focused on those that were outcasts. We think about the publicans and the sinners. Yes, that's true. But as I was reflecting on this, I really don't find Jesus explaining this anywhere, nor do I find the apostles explaining it anywhere. It just seems to occur to me, Jesus was with the publicans. The publicans were not well liked. They were the tax collectors. And the Jews hated them for the most part. They were Jews, but they were hated for the most part. But I have a feeling that there might have been a sense that the publicans were okay to talk to because, after all, they were the ones who were enjoying wealth. And it's okay to talk to those folks. Jesus talked to them because they needed to know about God. Then that's true. They needed what Jesus could bring, and that's true. They needed forgiveness of sin, just like everybody else. It was okay to talk to the publicans because they were wealthy. But don't talk to the man who's lame, who scoots everywhere he goes, who can't even find someone to help him when there's healing available. Remember the man who was lame and wanted to be placed into the pool at Bethsaida? He said, I can't even find anybody to help me. Nobody wanted to help. That was where Jesus went. So there's some questions that I need to ask myself. Do I find it difficult to react to some people with compassion? I don't think there was anyone for whom compassion was out of place for Jesus. But I think I probably find it difficult. What specific actions did Jesus take to hold up these outsiders as someone that was significant, someone that had importance? Think about how often he entered their house. We're talking about Levi. He threw a dinner party with the publicans and the sinners. Jesus went into his house. He shared the meal with those people. He accepted thanks for greater grace. Remember the sinful woman at the dinner who broke the alabaster jar of ointment, poured it on Jesus, wiped her feet with his tears? And Simon looked at that and said, how could you let this person approach you? He showed patience. The Samaritans were rejected, but he showed great patience when he dealt with the Samaritans. And I wonder how Jesus' response to those people impacted the life of an outsider. Think about the leper. It was a shared grief. Lepers knew what it was like to be outcasts. There were Jewish groups that actually reveled in the fact that today they got to throw a rock at a leper. These were outcasts. And I understand that. They had an incurable disease. And to be around them meant to expose oneself to that disease. But you know, when Jesus encountered the leper, he touched him. I can't imagine the impact that that had on that one leper. Sure, there were 10 who were healed. 9 didn't give any thanks. 1 came back to give thanks to Jesus. I know that it doesn't always impact people's lives the way that you would think that it would, but I know that sometimes it does. So, I'm going to work with Jesus. I'm going to have to learn to have compassion. I'm going to have to put my belief into action, knowing that it's going to have an impact on the people that I'm around. Well, in just a minute, we're going to stand and sing a song together. Trust and obey. It takes a great deal of trust to lay aside all of the preconceptions that we build up in our lives. If that's the kind of person that you want to be, then come and walk with Jesus. Work with him. Be the kind of minister that Jesus was. You can put Jesus on in baptism. Identify with him. Be one of his people. We'll help you do that. It may be that you look at the answer to these questions and you think, you know, that's not the kind of person I've been. I've been like the people that Bob read about this morning from the book of James, who said to a man who came in shabby clothes, sit here at my feet. And I'm sorry. I need to return. Remember, James is writing to Christians. These are people that have put Jesus on. They needed to come back. And you can come back too. Thankfully, Jesus will accept us. All we need to do is pray and ask for his forgiveness. He's promised that he would accept. So let's trust in God and let's sing the song. Let's all stand and sing the song with no one.
When we walk with the one glory he sheds on our way, while we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other to be in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a joy we me doth richly repay. Not a grief for a loss, not a friend for a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all of the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the rain. What he says we will do, where he says we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Be seated for a few minutes. Nolan, did you pick someone to lead it? Okay. Couple of things we want to catch you up on, make sure that you're aware of those opportunities to pray and those needs that exist among us. I guess everyone knows that the only way that we support the work that we do here is through the free will offerings of our members. And so if you're visiting with us, we're thrilled that you're here. We're not soliciting your funds, but if you are a part of this group, a part of this church, then take a moment to make sure that you help to support us in the work that we're doing. There are different ways that you can do that. They've been flashing up here on the board in front of you. We do want you to be aware of some of the things that are going on among us and some things that are opportunities for us to pray. If you came in this morning, you didn't get a bulletin, be sure you grab one of these. They're on the credenza out in the lobby. It'll help keep you up to date with what's going on. It's that time of year, a lot of traveling. So let's be aware of those people that are traveling and pray for safe journeys. Let's be aware of the people that are traveling here to be with family and friends and pray for their safe journey, and let's support them as they travel. A lot of family that will be traveling, a lot of family will get to see, and just take the time to embrace those people that are a part of your family. It's such a wonderful blessing to us. Remember Carolyn, she got bad news that she has liver cancer. It's advanced. She's going to be talking with her doctors about how they can proceed. It's a very difficult time for her. She needs a break. Pray earnestly that God will heal her. She's been through so much. I know God is looking out for us. He watched out for Eileen, and she's doing a little bit better. She looks like she has more color in her cheeks. Doesn't look quite so tired. I know she's still dealing with her back. April's sister Linda, probably a good illustration of how God gets involved in things, his providence. Yeah, she had four little mini strokes, and because she was having the mini strokes, they took her to the hospital. After she got to the hospital, she had a major stroke. And from what April understands, if she hadn't been in the hospital, that major stroke would have killed her. But because she was in the hospital, she was able to survive that. And she is working with her doctors to overcome the effects of that stroke. I don't know if God made sure she was at the hospital, but I can see what was going on, and I can think, I'm glad God had a hand in watching over her. Darlene Craig injured her back and is in a great deal of pain, so let's continue to remember her. Charlie and Carolee's new address is on the board in the back. They're living now over by, everybody says it's across the street from the fire department. My landmark is right next to Bi-Mart. It's over there, just to the, let's see, I have to orient myself to the west of Coburg Road. Am I right? It's on the west side of Coburg Road, close to McDonald's and Bi-Mart. And so let's do what we can to help support Charlie and Carolee. Is there anything else that we need to mention before we get away? Let's remember to watch out for these folks. Let's remember to pray to God that he will heal them. And I should also mention that Mike is doing much better. He was able to go to the game on Friday night. And John said, you know, when you push somebody around in a wheelchair, you really earn your keep. But it was good that he needed something to buoy him up as well.